In the next half hour, three natives talk about subsistence, health, and village corporation development in the Chulista region. I'm Mo Wasley, and welcome to Potlatch. Nam Kitlutsi means protectors of the land, and David Friday, chairman of the organization, talks about some of their activities.
We're trying to get the state together for a bill which would call for subsistence on those federal lands that subsistence is needed. And also in that bill, we're proposing cooperative management, which would compose of federal people, state people, and local people, would have to make decisions on that, on those lands. And second thing we're doing is we're investigating the possibility of challenging or amending Mike Turber Treaty Act, where natives could hunt when the birds are here in Alaska, not when they're, the season opens just about when they're gone out of the state. So this would help the traditional users of the migratory birds to be able to hunt. One of the things, the recent ones we've been working on, was the Marine Mammal Protection Act waiver. And the state is petitioning to for the federal government to turn back the management of nine species of marine mammals back to the state. And already this winter, gave back the management of walrus, and as a result, there was some sport hunting. And we are opposing the state to take over the management, because the people that depend on those marine mammals, federal government sees the need and exempt the natives from that act. And right now, with the development going on down in Bering Sea, the proposed offshore oil leases are our biggest threat to the marine mammals. And with that, there'll be more and more people down in the coast. I think that's the most important diet, the marine mammals down in all along the coast. And that's why we're fighting to keep the management under federal government. We are going to have a task force that Rural Cap will be putting together. We're trying to get the village, Alaska, to have a say in this proposed legislation that the federal government will act on. We might not get all we wanted, but at least we make it known what we want, and write it down in paper and make the proposal. And I think that if we push hard enough, some of those things that we want will be recognized by the Congress.
Dave continues on to tell of developments in his home village of Chivat.
School is being built by BIA. And the reason why I think the school board decided not to turn to state was of the equipment that they're getting from BIA is more better than what they say in state, because federal government has a lot of money to get a lot of equipment. But when it's really complete, we're considering to go REAA. GVAC Corporation, which I am the vice president, were building the pool hall. Oh, fishing was really good out there. Just about every family got their share of their winter food, salmon. And herring run was pretty good. Where those people that weren't too lazy to go out got their share. berry season was very good, and hunting season was pretty good. So we had no problems this year.
Loggins and Messina. Improvement of health care among natives remains a concern of many people in Alaska. Hospitals and village clinics are being built, and natives are being trained in modern medicine. Regional native health organizations were formed to address these problems, and Mary Gregory of Bethel talks about the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation.
YKHC was established by AVCP at one of the earlier conventions, because they wanted to have a voice in determining health programs in the AVCP region. So they formed the YKHC, and because they didn't have the knowledge or resources to do direct care, they made it kind of a preventative educational type of organization, and that's what they've been doing. When we first started, we only had community liaisons and a couple other people besides the administration. And then these people planned, you know, what programs they were going to have. So we have up to date now, we have health aid education program. We have dental prevention program. We have community health CHRs, representatives, and then we have community liaison department, which helps people in local government and that type of services. And then we have we are running the LPN program with KCC. Have been doing that for the last 2 years, and last weekend, or matter of fact Saturday, I think was the time when some of our LPNs were graduating out of a 2-year program. We also have other programs like alcoholism type, what we call mental health. That's, you know, tying it in with different problems that they are having over there.
Mary continues on to tell of the formation of the prematernal home at Bethel and how it functions.
A lot of people come into Bethel to have their babies, you know, the ladies. And a lot of times they come in for different reasons. If they have complications, they have to come in earlier. But a lot of times they come in at least a month before they have their babies. And then they cannot put them in the hospital. They're not sick enough to be in there. But they need some place to stay where they could, you know, get good care, nutrition, health, and hygiene-wise. And if they stay in, when, before the prematernal home was established or became, ladies used to come in and stay with friends, sometimes relatives. And a lot of times they had to, you know, get out of the house middle of the night because the people they were staying with would be having a party, and therefore they weren't comfortable in that home. A couple of times, I think a couple of them had to sleep outside, and that brought a lot of concern to the people at the time who were working with the patients, you know, at the hospital. And they asked the city of Bethel to give them a building, and YK would supply it with materials, equipment, and then the public health service would provide the salaries, and that's what we've been running it under. So since the prematernal home has been in existence, then there were records have shown that the less babies die, and you know, they're able to live longer. Because I know for a fact, my generation, the people who were born and the same year that I was born are very few, as opposed to the people that are born like 15 to 20 years later.
I want to do this song on behalf of a very good friend of mine, a legend in his own time, Sam Cook. Just like the river I've been a-running ever since. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been through hard living. It makes me afraid to die. 'Cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long, a long time coming. But I know change gonna come. Oh yeah. And then I go to my brother. say, brother, help me please. But he's always wind up knocking me. Back down, oh, that I think I'm able to try to carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know change gonna come. Oh, yes it will.
Bobby Womack. Glenn Fredericks of Sleepmute is heading the Kuskokwim Management Corporation with their base at Aniak. He describes the merger of 11 village corporations, the paperwork involved, and the functions of KMC.
Any investments that the villages want, we'd look into it for them. We have one attorney, one accountant for all 11 villages. We take care of their books, annual reports, and corporate taxes and all that stuff. And this has been going on for 3 years, and this year we proposed to the villages and started talking about the merger under President Ford's amendment to the Native Claim Settlement Act. And we put it up for the shareholders to vote on here about 3 weeks ago. And it passed in each village unanimously. Over 70% of the villages in each village voted for it. We're in a stage now, we just was over with Chalista board to approve the merger. Chalista has to approve it. And then it goes on to Secretary of Interior for his approval. Our idea is in January, we would have all the paperwork back from Washington and so forth, and we'll have to put in our corporate status to State of Alaska and then officially be merged in January this coming year. There are 11 villages consisting of about 1,500 shareholders. We found that these little individual villages won't survive if they were alone. As you know, the expense of running a corporation is fantastic out there because of air travel and so forth. And our audit bill hopefully would be cut in half, which was last year was roughly $23,000, $2,000 some a piece for each village. And this is our biggest thing, and when we talked to Chalista, was the idea of saving money for the shareholders. And then we could also get into business for the villages. What they do is they advise the board of KMC of what they want, and we look into it, see if it's feasible, if it's all right, and we advise them to go ahead, and we give them all assistance they need. Our attorneys work for the villages, and used to be it was shared by per capita basis. Now that we've merged, all the land and all the money will go into one pot instead of all 11 little villages, which I think in my mind it'll save the villages a lot of money in years to come. I'd like to see each of the 11 districts or subregions that Chalista have going to something like this. On the nonprofit side, that's how we started, was using the nonprofit of the 11 villages. And it worked so well that we can get more grants for the villages and so forth. And I'd like to really see these villages in units go into this because of Self-Determination Act and all the federal agencies, you know, till the time come that these people are familiar with paperwork. Then they can go and get the grants themselves. And this has been working out real well in our area. We now have $200,000-$300,000 worth of grant funds that go directly to the villages. In some of the villages are building boats and sleds, and we have an agriculture program with the Bureau of Indian Affairs. That's in Aniak alone, we had 25 acres of productive vegetables this fall, and hopefully next year we can go to three or four other villages and start clearing land and helping the people plant vegetables for their use.
Nobody said that life is always fair. Sometimes it clips your wings while you're in midair. But there's a thread between your life and mine, and when you're losing hope, this rope won't unwind. Hold on tight, 'cause life is touch and go. It's sink or swim, but never doubt if you're out on a limb. I'll get the call to break your in the night that wasn't there before. You turned out the light straight from your mind. The monster 'neath your bed, the voices down the hall, they're all in your head. Hold on tight, 'cause life is touch and go. It's sink or swim, but never doubt. Get the call to break your fall. I'll never leave you, even when life is touch and go, or hit and run. We'll never break if we take it as one. I'm here to stay. I pray you. But never run aground. Life is a town full of strangers at best. I'll help you home, God help the rest. Hold on tight, 'cause life is touch and go. It's sink or swim, but never doubt if you're out on a limb. I'll get the and go, or hit and run. We'll never break if we take it as one. I'm here.
Rupert Holmes. Our final segment has Glenn Fredericks talking about the hunting moose, trapping fur, and fishing in the Aniak area.
Fishing was real good. Commercial fishing stops at Aniak. And the lower Kalskag and Aniak was plentiful fish, and they sold to local people there, buyers. For hunting, it's a sore subject, you know. We realize that people have to have moose and game to eat, but hundreds and hundreds of people came up from Bethel, you know, which is good. But if we keep doing this, the moose will be gone in another couple of years because of big quantity of hunters, you know. Hopefully there would be some way we could control this, you know. I've met with Department of Fish and Game in Juneau and talking about this. I don't know what the answer is. But, we had 40 Norwegians or Swedes came over to our area and operate out of Aniak and hunted moose and bear. You know, it's legal as long as you got your license, you know. But that hurts the area, you know. That's quite a bit of moose, you know, besides the local people. So you're talking 200-300 moose, you know, if everybody catch one, which most of them are getting, you know. In Holetna, which is up from Sleetmeer there, it was closed for 5 or 6 years, and now there's plentiful beaver. Beaver is abundance there because of the closure. Fur like marten, mink, and there's plentiful, you know. Good year last year, price-wise on fur, I believe. Everybody get their share.
Flashing.
listening to Michael Murphy. I'm Mo Osley, and thank you for listening.
Potlatch is produced by KUAC under Title I of the Higher Education Act.